The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, Luke chapter 2, 22 to 40. The sermon title is Dismiss Me, Your Servant, in Peace. You may be seated. This year, as I was doing some Christmas shopping, I noticed a couple of interesting books with titles like this, Journeys of a Lifetime, 500 of the World's Greatest Trips, Food Journeys of a Lifetime, 500 Extraordinary Places to Eat Around the Globe, and the 500 Best Historic Sites to Visit. Now, if you're into this sort of thing, you can get those books at the National Geographic online store if your local bookstore doesn't carry them. Now, I suspect, certainly before COVID came, that many of you had already thought about your hope for journey of a lifetime. If you are retired, you may have already taken that trip. Many folks in the U.S. hope someday to take a trip maybe to Alaska or Hawaii or merry old England. Some hope to see the places where Jesus walked in modern-day Israel. Others have dreams that fit a more modest budget, such as a Caribbean cruise or a trip to Florida. You may not realize this, but journeys of a lifetime are a secular version of the religious pilgrimage, which is still going strong in many world cultures, although not in ours. The most famous is probably the lifetime trip to Mecca, which is required of all Muslims if they're capable of making such a trip. Devout Hindus will take their lifetime trip to Benares to wash in the fabled river Ganges. Devout Buddhists will take their lifetime trip to the Bodh Gaya tree and other places where the Buddha walked. Devout Catholics may still travel to Santiago de Compostela in northwestern Spain, where the remains of St. James the Apostle are supposedly held, although very few walk all the way from Central Europe as they did during the Middle Ages. In our gospel text this morning, the old man, Simeon, was someone who had a dream for a journey of a lifetime. In this case, the dream was given to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told him that before he died, he would take a trip to the Temple of Jerusalem, and he would see face to face the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. Well, that's quite some pilgrimage. I think it is hard for us today to sense the excitement, joy, wonder, and enthusiasm that Simeon felt on that day when he saw Jesus in the temple. It's hard enough for us to understand religious pilgrimages, which have to do with things that happened a long time ago in the past, and really are only of historical interest for those who are not believers. Simeon, on the other hand, when he looked into the face of Jesus, the baby, saw the face of the future of mankind. His discovery of the baby Jesus was just a small little thing, but it was filled with enormous possibilities, because it has to do with the future. The closest analogy to Simeon's discovery that comes to my mind was John Marshall's discovery of gold outside of Sacramento in 1848. In Marshall's case, the discovery was not immediately anticipated, but as soon as the assayer confirmed that it was real gold, the possibilities were enormous. And by 1849, the gold rush to California was on. It was the single largest international migration to one region in world history. In a year, San Francisco became the largest international port. 1 year from nothing, I mean relatively nothing, to the largest international port and the largest city on the western coast of the Western Hemisphere. Money from the gold fields funded the Union side of the Civil War, and it was a key factor in the Union victory and the end of slavery. Just think. One little piece of gold in a mill race changed the history of the American West and indeed the United States. One little piece of gold. Now, if you can imagine John Marshall at the mill with his gold, whooping and hollering and carrying on, just imagine old Simeon doing the same in the temple. Now, after he got over his initial excitement, Simeon asked if he could hold the baby in his arms. Mary looked at Joseph with some concern. After all, they didn't know Simeon at all, and after he had just carried on, he seemed like a crazy old man. And that is when Anna, the prophetess, came up to all of them and said, "It's okay. This is Simeon. He is a believer in the Messiah, and he believes that your son is the Messiah." So how do we know that Anna came up right at that moment of discovery? First, verse 38 says she came at that instant, which means the moment that when Simeon discovered the baby. Second, verse 36 says that she was a prophetess of the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And this tells us that even if Simeon was not well known, Anna was well known. And so if Anna vouched for Simeon, then they all knew that he was okay, even if he seemed to be a little bit crazy at the moment. Now, can you imagine Simeon? Still breathing hard from all his whooping and hollering, moving his long white beard aside, maybe tucking it into his belt, and taking the baby Jesus into his arms and looking at the baby. Well, I can imagine that pretty clearly, and so can Carla. It was about 25 years ago, an elderly man who had been one of my professors in college at Concordia River Forest came to the baptism of our oldest daughter, Sarah. You saw her 2 days ago. She's here with us with her husband and 2-year-old son. But that was 25 years ago, and she was just a baby, maybe a week, 2 weeks old. The elderly man's name was Dr. Herbert Sims. And he was one of my mentors in those days. After the baptism, we had a little reception in the parsonage, and he came over. I took baby Sarah out of the carrier and put her into his arms. And I said, "Here, Dr. Sims, You hold her for a while. He took her in his arms, and he didn't know what to say, because he rarely saw his own grandchildren. Tears welled up in his eyes, and I asked him, "Are you okay?" And he choked out the words. He said, "Yes, she's so, so beautiful. I don't deserve this." I imagine that Simeon said something similar, with tears flowing freely from his eyes. He got to hold the Messiah as a baby. Joseph and Mary asked him, "Are you okay?" Simeon choked out the words, "Yes, he's so beautiful. I don't deserve this." And just then, the baby with stars in his eyes looked deep into Simeon's eyes, and he smiled. Simeon stared back at the baby, and he looked to be just like a common Jewish baby, but just at that moment, he was not. You see, the voice that had been talking to Simeon in his dream now said, "Yes, Simeon, I am that one that you now hold." Then Simeon sang the lullaby that we call the Nunc Dimittis. It is a canticle, which means a song composed spontaneously by a believer in the Old or New Testament. These canticles are found at the end of our current hymn book, Numbers 925 to 941. The Nunc Dimittis is the traditional close to the divine service following the communion service. Every time the Christians sing the Nunc Dimittis, we remember that special moment when Simeon sang a lullaby to the baby Jesus. Our children are babies for a very short time. They must grow up, become young men and women, and fulfill their destiny by utilizing their God-given talents for the good of their neighbors and community. In the same way, Jesus was a baby for a very short time. He had to grow up to become a young man and to fulfill his destiny by utilizing his divine talents for the good of his people, the Jews, and for all mankind. For that very short time, in the arms of the man with the white beard, the baby with the starlit eyes cooed and giggled. And they all knew, Anna, Mary, Joseph, and Simeon, that everything would finally work out wonderfully for all of them. They knew that all things will, in the end, work out for good, for those who are believers, according to God's almighty purpose, Romans 8:28. And this is what we Christians know and believe this Christmas season. In our newborn King's name, amen.